Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. You guys, what a week it's been. Last week, of course, was our nostalgia episode with that iconic lineup. And I mean, you guys, I loved it. I think that was my favorite episode so far until this one you're about to listen to. And a lot of people were messaging me about some of the interviews, one in particular with someone. And I just want to say, I did not prank call anyone.
Who is this?
Everything was set up, so... You know, if the guest asked who it was and why I was calling, it was not my fault. And if you're on Patreon, I'll go ahead and post the unedited interview for that because, you know, we all need to hear it. Like Shannon Bador said, you will all see the truth. So if you're on Patreon, please go ahead and check that out. And again, you know, now that we're here, let's talk about Patreon. So if you don't know about it, we're doing all sorts of bonus episodes and we're doing Roni recaps and we're doing all sorts of stuff over there. It's really fun. All you have to do is pledge $4 or more a month, hopefully a little bit more. And it's just a way of supporting this podcast. And of course, you get all the bonus stuff. You'll want to hear the unedited interview with Nikki because it is iconic. It really is. Anyway, this is our first episode from my new apartment. I've been moving, and you guys, moving is a big pain in the ass. I hate it. I've been so stressed. Yesterday, I cried into a pillow. And, you know, there's been casualties. Whitney, I don't know if you know this, but I have a Divas wine glass collection.
Oh.
Oh. So, you guys, I've collected what I call Divas wine glasses. They're mostly from Las Vegas. Usually when a diva takes residency in Vegas, I hop on over and I grab one of the wine glasses from their gift shop. I love a gift shop. I love merch. I love concert merch. And so I've, through the years, collected a Celine Dion wine glass, Mariah Carey wine glass, Cher wine glass. Cher is my very first wine glass that I got from Las Vegas. I have a Shania Twain one, who I know we're mad at right now, but her wine glass survived the move. But you know what? Mariah Carey's wine glass did not survive the move, and I... have never been more devastated. Hashtag this is a crisis, Bethany Frankel. You guys, the movers I hired, who Whitney suggested that I hired, by the way.
I feel so bad.
Whitney's the one who told me to hire these movers, and I did, and they ruined my prize wine glass, which you cannot buy. It's no longer for sale. Mariah is doing another residency there later this year, and I swear to God, if they don't have a wine glass in the merch shop, I will go cry in that pillow again. Because, you guys, I have a whole collection of these wine glasses, and they're nice. They're not just puffy paint on a wine glass. Like, these are official merch from that Caesar's Palace store. Or occasionally, like, if the diva performs elsewhere, like, Britney is at Planet Hollywood, so they have a different merch store. But I have all these glasses, and you guys, my favorite diva, my favorite one, Mariah Carey, her glass broke. And I know that when you move, there's casualties. I'm aware of that, but... I've never been more devastated. I'm already so stressed. And yesterday, Matt left me with the movers. You know, my boyfriend, we're moving into this new place and he had to work and he left me with the movers. And you guys, it is no fun to move. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. So you guys, last week we had Kristen Cavallari on the show and I've been rewatching The Hills. I mentioned that. And I was thinking, why haven't any of The Hills girls ended up on our Housewives shows? I mean, why hasn't Audrina been on Orange County? I mean, she should be going out with Kelly Dodd immediately. And Whitney Port, I mean, you know she knows Tinsley. Like, there's no way that Whitney Port does not know Tinsley. And I need to get some crossovers going. I need Kristen Cavallari on Beverly Hills Housewives. I need Lauren Conrad on Beverly Hills Housewives hanging out with Lisa Rinna. I don't know, chasing after her rats or something. You know, we need a crossover. And speaking of Beverly Hills, you guys, did you see the podcast was mentioned on the Beverly Hills reunion? Everything Iconic. It wasn't mentioned by name. Teddy simply said, a podcast. Now, I had heard that Everything Iconic was mentioned on the reunion. Somebody had texted me. But I didn't know if possibly they edited it out. Like they said, a little birdie told me that it came up at the reunion. Now, of course, Andy asks the group about Meghan McCain. He says, did you see Meghan was talking about Teddy or something like that? And then Teddy says, you know, she was talking about me in Page Six and on a podcast. And I got so excited. When I saw it airing, I had heard that it might happen, but I thought maybe it got edited out. And when I saw it airing live, I screamed. I shouted at Whitney, who was not there. I texted her. I was just so thrilled that, you know, we were going global. The Housewives air globally, and I say that we went global that night. And it was just so exciting. Oh, my God. And it was the only exciting thing to happen on that reunion because nothing's going on. Erica allegedly had a migraine, and seems like she does not want to be there. She kind of gave Andy some shit. In the first part of the reunion, Andy was kind of going back and forth with her about her book. And I actually had some feelings about this because they made it seem like it was so bizarre that Tom Girardi didn't read Erica's book. And I actually thought, like, why would he read the book? Because, okay, it wasn't some artistic endeavor that she endured on. Like, she had a co-writer who wrote the whole book. Like, she didn't write any. She's not a writer. So she kind of told her story to him. And this guy wrote the book. So if anything, he was doing like artistic, creative, you know, stuff. And Erica was just telling her story, which Tom already knows her story. He married her. He knows what happened in her life, hopefully. I mean, that's something that maybe we need to look into. But the fact that he didn't sit down and read this book, which was not a creative endeavor by her, I was like, yeah, of course not. And they were giving her such shit. And Andy said, oh, I've written 3 books. The first thing I did was send to my parents or whatever. It's like, first of all, those are your parents. Second of all, you did all the writing. Andy didn't have a co-writer or a ghostwriter for his books. So it's a completely different process. I think if Erica was sitting down at a computer and writing about her pretty mess life, then yeah, I get it. But she didn't. So I just thought that was weird that people were giving her shit. And so they did say she had a migraine and that's why she was so cold. Which I get, you know, if you have a migraine, you don't want to deal with anyone, let alone those women. But it was just so boring, Whitney, right? Like nothing happened. It was just these women sort of sitting around. They talked about Lisa Rinna's Instagram at one point. And it's like, we're talking about Instagram. They talked about my podcast. I mean, if you're really grasping at those straws, like you need to recast. We need to get something else going. And again, I don't want to talk badly about the things that we love. But, you know, my hope is that we've hit rock bottom. I think that there's nowhere to go but up. And so next season, I'm hoping that they'll course correct in the way that I think Orange County is doing right now. I have faith that Orange County hit rock bottom last season and they're course correcting. Now, the only issue that I have or the only worry that I have is that Beverly Hills has been bad for a couple seasons now. And maybe this isn't rock bottom. Maybe it's not, you guys. Maybe we have to accept that. I don't know. But this reunion, I can't believe that it's 3 parts. They're not doing anything for 3 parts. It's horrible. I will say they look beautiful. I love their outfits. I think Kyle's new teeth look great, actually. And, you know, I think they look good. So, my stomach's growling. Did y'all hear that? Rawr. Whitney, don't edit that out. Leave that in. Beverly Hills might be not great right now, but you know what is great is Potomac. I'm loving Potomac right now. I'm so glad that I hopped on board. I want to issue a public apology because I said I wouldn't watch Potomac. I said I drew the line at Potomac, and here I am. I, you know, erased that line, and I'm on board. I love it. I think it's so good. I didn't watch season 1 or 2. I just hopped in on season 3. And I did it because some people said that there was a meme fight. And I thought, oh, if there's a meme fight, then I really need to, like, get in on this. And I'm so glad that I did because then there was also a press conference for tax issues. And when I tell you that this is gold standard television, like you all need to be tuning in. I don't care if you've said Potomac is bad. You know what? Course correct the way I did. Issue a public apology to those that you've wronged. Like, please get on board. Hop in on season 3. Go to iTunes. Go to BravoTV.com. Go to the Bravo app. Do what you need to do to watch this season because it is fantastic. We're getting Giselle. We're getting tax issues. Some of the people, you know, I'm not sure. I asked Whitney. I said, who do I like? I don't know yet. I'm still figuring it out, but we'll figure it out together. I think I like Giselle. Do I like Giselle? I like Giselle. Okay. I like Giselle, and I think I like Karen, too, but she seems like a huge mess, right? Is she a mess? I can't get my head around their ages. I think I texted you, Whitney. I was like, what age are they all? Because they seem like a very wildly mixed group of ages, which I like. Of course, you all know I love an older housewife, so I wish they were all like Karen's age. Again, if you've never watched, please hop in. Let's all do season 3 together. Oh my God, the last episode there was like a wig. Oh my God, there was a wig moment that I was like crying laughing, you guys. Like tears were coming. Earlier I said I cried in a pillow from stress. I cried in a pillow out of happiness tears. I was so excited. So it's great. Oh my God, Whitney, I didn't tell you. I know I'm jumping all over the place, but in my move, I found an Us Weekly. Okay, and on the cover, it's a Housewives tell-all, and there's Kelly Bensimone, Bethany Frankel, and Jill Zarin. This is from June 2010. I saved it. I'm framing it. I got a frame. It's all ready. And the front of it just says, bullying, lies, and betrayal. Jill begs Bethany for forgiveness. You guys know this was the Scary Island season. This is when this came out. I mean, I can't believe that they're covering Us Weekly because I don't see Housewives on Us Weekly much anymore. That was a moment in time. And there are some good stuff in here. I want to read a little excerpt that I found. There is a section about Jill and Bethany's fight, and there's this little bit about Jill Zarin that I just want to read to you guys. Now, this is from June 2010. A source close to Zarin, who recently published her own book, Secrets of a Jewish Mother, says she fancies herself one of Bravo's biggest stars. She asks everyone, "Do you think I'm the most known housewife out of all the casts?" Her favorite thing is to tell people that she has the same agent as Tom Cruise. Tommy, can you hear me? What world were we living in that Jill Zarin had the same agent as Tom Cruise? I mean, I can't believe it. Oh, and then there's like another part that says about Jill having media training before the reunion. Like apparently, so you guys remember this was season 3. This was the big Bethany and Jill fallout. And Jill, it says in this Us Weekly that before the reunion, she hired media training people to come to her house and have a sleepover so that she could present herself well at the reunion. And I remember that reunion because I watch it once a year, and she did not present herself well at that reunion. And she apparently had people sleeping at her house to coach her on what was going on. I mean, come on. It was just so good. So, Whitney, I'm framing that. Whitney's reading it now. Do not bend it. Do not get you. Are your fingers clean? Yes. Are your hands washed? Somebody was over the other day, and they were looking at it, and I was, like, just staring at them like, you better be careful. Because it's already, like, a little bent, and I need to make sure that it's in pristine condition. Mariah Carey's also on the cover, and so is three of the cast members from Glee, two of them that are still with us. Don't cut that out. Don't cut it out, but just know that I'm sorry. Just know that I'm sorry, you know what?
Hey, she got engaged.
Yeah. Oh, and Leah Michelle got engaged. Leah Michelle, who I love, got engaged. I need her in that Wicked movie. But, you know, at least she's getting married, so she's busy. I love Leah Michelle, you guys. I stan that song Battlefield, written by Sia, which was from her first album. That song's good. I haven't mentioned this in a while. Please go rate and review this on iTunes if you like it. Only if you like it. If you don't, just keep it yourself. You guys, I'm prone to depression, okay? But please go rate and review this on iTunes. It helps us out so much with booking the guests and all that stuff. So take a minute if you get a chance. Find us on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. And Patreon and everythingiconic.com. Oh my God, there's so much. I'm so exhausting. And now I have on the show today, we have Elliot Glazer, who you guys know from Broad City. He was a writer on New Girl. He's so, so funny. He's also a View super fan. Him and I have really connected on The View. And we also have Blair St. Clair on the show. Now, if you guys aren't watching Drag Race, you need to be watching Drag Race. It's so, so good. I've been telling Whitney to watch it, and she refuses. Whitney, why haven't you watched it yet? There's lies. Lies. You all need to be watching Drag Race. It's so good because you get this wonderful fashion competition where you get to see these great looks, but then you also get these deep stories that come through. So it's this mix of funny and fun. The drag queens are all very quick-witted and very funny. And then you get these deep stories about how and why they started drag. And Blair St. Clair's is so compelling. So Blair's going to be on the show later. And I fell in love with her because of her story. And on the last episode she was on, she revealed that she had been sexually assaulted in college. And it very much influenced her drag. And I find this story so interesting. And I just want to encourage you all to watch Drag Race. I know we have a lot of female listeners. And you might think, oh, it's I don't know, too gay? Is that a thing women would think? I don't know. It's not too gay. Please go watch it. It's so good. It's on VH1 now. And there's also a show called Untucked, which is like the behind-the-scenes drama of the main episodes. It's a good show. And Blair was my favorite. And her story is so, so interesting. So please stick around after Elliot for that interview. Before I do, I want to get to some paperwork. Some people have been asking for an Everything Iconic Facebook group. So now there is one. Just search Everything Iconic. It's a group, and there's going to be some fun stuff in there. I'm going to do some like live threads during the episodes, and I want to keep it nice and friendly because sometimes these housewife Facebook groups, they can get really nasty and negative. So my goal is to keep it something that we can all go to and celebrate the things that we love. And a little shade and sarcasm is fun too. But, you know, we're trying to keep it nice. I want to make it nice like Dorinda.
Or keep it cute like
keep
Carol.
It cute, like, keep it cute like Carol, exactly. Oh, you know how, what I liken it to? Okay, so you know on the First Wives Club how they had the Cynthia Swan Crisis Center for Women? So it was a place for people to go to support women, to support each other. So this Facebook group, it's going to be like the Cynthia Swan Crisis Center for Pop Culture Lovers. So we're all going to go there and we're all going to support each other and we're going to make it nice. You know, we're going to keep it cute. We're going to keep it cute. And let's get Elliot Glazer out here. And then we also have Blair St. Clair coming up after it later. Love you. All right, guys, I'm here with Elliot Glazer, who, of course, you guys know from Broad City. You were a writer on New Girl. I want to talk real quickly about Broad City.
Sure.
It's the next season is the last season, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do you hope the girls end up? Like, how do you want them to end up? What would your ideal finale be?
I write for the show, so I know what the finale is.
Okay, so what is the finale? So tell
how,
me.
How would I want it to end up? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because it's not, I wouldn't think of it from the writer's perspective as a show that has a huge sort of narrative arc per se.
Yeah.
So that's a tough question to answer.
Yeah.
It's also weird because I know in my head what it looks like.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, I can't really come up with a fake answer.
Yeah. Yeah. But are you happy with it? Are you?
Yeah,
happy?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, very much so.
Okay, good. Now, I want to get into Housewives right off the bat.
Sure.
So you watch Roni. You're a big Housewives fan, right?
I'm a pseudo Housewives fan, meaning, okay. I only watch New York. No, that's not true. I watch New York.
I watch New York, Orange County, Potomac, D.C. And that's it.
Potomac, hilarious. No, I'm like, I watched...
Elliot, how dare you? Wait, I need to tell you that I just started watching Potomac, and it is good.
Really?
This season is good, I swear, I promise.
I just don't... Like, I'm still sort of at a place where I feel like... I watched Beverly Hills briefly, never really got into it too much.
Bad, yeah.
Never, an ex of mine used to love Miami, mm. And I don't know. The Atlanta one I have no interest in because I find it, they're all just very, their own flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And the totally. Reason I liked New York was because it used to be, I think, a weirder show, like actually weird. And now it's cleaner and more sort of, you know, has more like artifice to it. But it used to be, I think, especially in its first, like, three seasons, it was weird. It was almost, like, scrappy in a way, where they were trying to, like, sell you on this idea of, like, it was almost like they were trying to, like, lean more towards Jill and less towards, like, the Tinsley mm-hmm. element of it. So more towards, like, this Jewish New York versus this, like, Sex in the City waspy social New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now I think it's bent more in that direction. But I always was just like, this is it's such a weird show. Like, to me, Kelly Bensimon is the strangest human being.
Oh, my God. I love that you're talking about this right now because I have an Us Weekly on the table right in front of us with Kelly, Bethany, and Jill from 2010. And we were just talking about this before. That was an era. Like, season three, I think, is, like, the best season of any Housewives. It's so bizarre.
But it's so bizarre. Like, it's not like, normal. It's not a normal trajectory. It's Kelly is clearly having some sort of mental breakdown. Jill is, like... You're seeing, like, ego at its most...
Sorry.
Hi.
Hi.
You're seeing ego at its, like, most raw form, in its mm-hmm. most raw form. Like, she's just... There, no holds barred, raw, monstrous ego. And Bethany is just, like, on her game.
Yeah.
And has just, like, really figured out what she's doing. And Alex is such a bizarre character, and she's like, she is such a strange addition to the show where you're like, with every one of them, mm-hmm. besides Jill, I'm like, what are you?
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
What is Luann? Why does she have a Canadian accent?
And like, Luann back then was a totally different Luann.
Totally
it's
different.
It's not the same Luann that we have.
No, because we watch them. I mean, you've all Housewives, I think, but with them especially, you've watched them like, prepare to launch merch before a season has begun. Which is so odd.
Yeah.
And, like, you see them, like, jostling for the last opening line in the you know what I mean? Like, it's like, who's the most important now? And it's always whoever has the last line in that opening sequence.
Yeah.
Like, what a strange little, like, system and hierarchy that this show has created. It's its own monster.
And back then, like, speaking of season three, that was the first big Housewives trip amongst any of the franchises.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, Scary Island was the first one that it was like, you know, now every season they have to go on the trips and everything.
Well, that's the other part of the show that I find so odd. And every Housewives too, I guess, where it's like, there is a sort of, they plan out the season in a way that writers plan out a season of a narrative show, which is like, it starts here, it goes here, there's a trip here, and it ends. It's so weird.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm still mystified by Jill and Kelly, because Jill made me so embarrassed for the Jews. Like, she was she became the worst Jew.
But, you know, I rewatched season one recently for the Patreon page for this podcast, and Jill was so likable in season
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
Like, she was just lovely. She was funny. There was a scene where she was laying on a couch with Bethany. Like, they were just chatting, and they were just laid back in casual clothes.
Yep.
Like two good friends just sitting and chatting.
Yep.
And she was so relaxed. She was witty. She was funny. She was nice. And then it went all downhill from after season one.
Well, was it season three that had that insane three-part reunion where she had her hair teased out? Jill did.
Well, in this magazine right here, we learned that she hired media trainers to come sleep over at her house before the season three reunion.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, you watch this. She is like, you watch her like evolve into this bizarre sort of villain.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch, it's so clear that she's just, she becomes so desperate and so hungry for a different level of fame that is so different from what made her endearing in the first place. Like, season one, she's this like really sweet, philanthropic sort of Jewish mother hen that I hadn't really seen much of in TV or in media, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice representation, I thought, on TV. And then by three, you're like, you are a monster.
Yeah, get off the TV. Yeah, and season four was like her final lap, where it was just like she had completely gone off the rails. And she almost like embraced it. I feel like at the end of season three, she was trying to kind of get back on track and be nice, you know, with her media training sleepover.
Yep.
And then
hilarious.
Season four, she just was like, okay, I'm a monster. I'm going to be a monster.
Yeah, and you can see, I mean, also like she's scary in that, I feel like from what I've seen of her on like social media and her like post show, she is so hungry for validation and so hungry to be considered like she's to me. I'm like, you're rich and not unemployed, but like you're rich and you don't have to like have a real job. And yet, and you're like a socialite or whatever you want to call her. I don't know, faux socialite. But with all that being said, you have all of that in your canon and money, and yet you're starving to be like on like Sharknado or some shit, you know, or like have an under five on, like, you want the saddest things.
Yeah.
You want the saddest things, and you're buying Twitter followers, and and you're also pretending to be this like continuing to be this philanthropic, like, remember Squeeze Couture?
Yeah. Do I remember it? I have some in my closet. I'm wearing it right now, Elia.
Hilarious. I'm just like, ew, like Squeeze. First of all, like Squeeze
I'm wearing
Couture.
Squeeze Couture on top of my yummy tummy. And my Bethany Frankel skinny girl jeans are on top of those.
Oh my God. It's like, guys, just let Bethany have her market. Like, she did this. She figured it out. Stop. Don't do Squeeze Couture and pretend that you're like following in her footsteps to like beat her at her own game.
I have goosebumps. I'm so giggly right now with this. I like couldn't talk about Jill Zarin forever. Oh my God, I love it. So she's your favorite.
Jill. Jill
is your favorite housewife.
Well, I mean, Kelly was always absolutely flummoxed to me.
Yeah. I love watching Kelly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would watch Kelly and relish like I don't, like, I truly would watch him be, and the reason I like that, the show, New York, is because it's weird. Mm-hmm. And because Kelly is genuinely, you can't even, like, pick up, like, she's not intelligent. Like, she's clearly not intelligent, but she's trying to make herself sound intelligent, which makes her sound even less intelligent. Mm-hmm. And, but she's also strange and trying to, like, unfold or unpack the words that she, the way she says things was always baffling.
She called into this show, into the podcast.
Oh, she did?
Recently. And it was, I got off the phone and I was like, I don't know where I am right now. Like,
exactly.
Like, where am I? What just happened? I mean, it was so, yeah, it was all over the place. I loved every second of it.
I loved it, but yeah. I also will say that, like, on the show, as crazy as she was, she did come off very arrogant to me. And I don't know, arrogant about what exactly?
This is me, this is you.
Yeah,
thing.
I'm like,
oh,
what?
My God.
And she just kind of, like, spoke without thinking and would say, like, I still remember, or I think recently I watched the season 3 reunion, like, on a plane.
Sure.
I was like, this is, they had it on demand or something.
Yeah.
And she's,
because we demand it.
That's right, always.
We demand it.
And she was sitting on the couch being very, you know, antagonistic and sort of, like, stubborn and, like, swinging her leg back and forth, mm-hmm. like, on purpose. Like, I don't care. I'm like a little kid being like, who cares? I'm here. Who cares? And fighting back and, like, sort of grandstanding and kept saying systematic bullying. Clearly mm-hmm. somebody, like, fed her that line.
And they ask her, Bethany is like, what does that mean? She doesn't know.
Yeah. And I think the sort of, it's the haughtiness. It's the idea that she's like, I'm sticking to this and I have no idea what it means, but I'm going to stick to my guns. It bums me out. It's like, come on, at least learn the definition of this silly, stupid term that some PR person gave mm-hmm. you.
One of Jill's sleepover friends.
The show has brought out a bizarre underbelly of New York that is so lame.
Yeah.
That's what's lame about it, is that, so, you know, so Sonia, or as Luann says, Sonia.
When, Sonia-rita.
Sonia, sorry. What? You're from Connecticut.
There's a video of Luann in front of a TJ Maxx. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Oh my God. She's doing like some, she's like, I'm Luann and I'm in front of a TJ Maxx, and she's doing some like news reports. The
oh
best.
No.
She's inside a TJ Maxx.
Oh my
it
God.
It's good.
I was just going to say is that like, Sonia is like supposed to be this socialite, this like upper crust, you know, cookie cutter socialite from the Morgans, like mm-hmm. a long line of socialites that a very small amount of people have access to or are part of. And the show has brought out this bananas, like almost like bipolar, pill popping idiot in her. And I used to like her,
yeah.
but I think she just clearly comes across as, they all do, but she clearly comes across as so unintelligent. And in a way, it sort of strips away the mystique of like an actual New York socialite. And it did with them one by one by mm-hmm. one. The only difference is that Bethany never pretended to be that,
yeah.
which is why I think people like her. But Ramona, I'm like, what are you? Yeah. What truly, what are you? Yeah. And how she has lasted longest of all of them, I'll never understand.
I feel like you can't pinpoint Ramona.
You just can't.
Every second, similarly with Kelly Ben Simone, it's like right when you think you have yep. it figured out, it's like she does something or she says something where you're like, what the fuck did what? You just do? Also, you know, I mentioned I rewatched season one, and when I went back, I thought, I first started and I was like, you know what, I'm going to enjoy Alex
yeah.
and Simon. I thought I liked them. And then by episode 3, I was like, I don't want to watch them anymore. I had to fast
forward.
Very
uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was just, they had sort of the same thing going, that, you know, desperate for society.
So desperate.
Thing. And, but all of these people made some of the other crazies look more normal. Like, I
yep.
feel like Jill makes Ramona look more normal.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, Kelly makes Bethany so much more likable.
So much more likable. And they amplify away, like, what is, even Sonia, like, looked, like, now she looks bananas. But, like, back then she seemed, like, compassionate
oh, yeah.
and just, like, fun, like, fun and lively, but not crazy.
Totally.
Even Dorinda, like.
What do you make of Dorinda?
I loved Dorinda at first because she was, like, sort of a, she was, like, a widow. She had a really, like, trashy boyfriend, which I love, and lived in what seems, looks like, to me, a very, for New York, like, medium-sized apartment. Mm-hmm. Like, very sort of
Understated.
Mm-hmm. And with a sort of loopy daughter who seems very likable. To me, like, very likable and fun, but because of Dorinda, still probably has her feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like Dorinda has also fed into that machine where I feel like the, like, I don't know how to describe it other than to say that, like, the beast, like, the animal of the Housewives ate itself. I don't know how to really describe it, but
that was perfect.
Is it, like, the idea that, like, the show was one thing, and now, and with all of them, it's a whole cottage industry, and so they are, all the wives have to either be savvy about the business itself, or, like, go, like figure it out from the inside out, like, how to remain relevant, and it's not, none of it's good. Like, yeah, it's all pathetic.
Do you see an end to all of this? Like, do you think the Housewives will end, or do you think this is going to be like General Hospital or something where it's going on forever?
I think, didn't Michael Rapaport say, I think it was Michael Rapaport, maybe on like Howard Stern, who I listened to, said something about the Housewives being like the new soap opera.
Yeah. Oh, it is. I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. Cause so, even when they bring characters back, it's the soap opera mold of like bringing Susan Lucci back, or how they bring Rinna back on whatever that show.
But that's just strange. It's strange because it's not fictional. Uh-huh. You know, technically it's not fictional, so it's very strange to me to like bring somebody back as if they disappeared. You know,
yeah,
it's like they're not. They don't have a storyline. It's like, but their storyline is their quote unquote life. Mm-hmm. So what? It's all very, it's a and very like strange industry.
Why aren't they showing up at these parties? Like, if they're so friends, like, why aren't they there?
I think for New York, the tipping point was Aviva throwing her leg or whatever on the floor. And I will tell you that I was at a candy store in New York, Economy Candy, which is like amazing, this amazing, amazing candy store in Lower East Side. And I was there, and Aviva was there with her kids. And I literally heard somebody, like some woman was like, I loved you on the Housewives, or I love you from TV or something. And Aviva literally was like, they edited me poorly. Like was just like giving her sob story to a woman in a candy store. And I was like, but I feel like they're just like all kind of sucked into this bizarre cottage industry, this bizarre echo chamber where
they can't get out.
They can't get out. Mm. It's, and like, I'm just, like, I feel like the thing with New York, I don't watch the other franchises really. I watch New Jersey here and there. But the one about New York feels like the editors always have the upper hand. And it always they always, for better or worse, make someone end up looking sad. Mm. I think the joke is always on the housewife.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Like, with the joke is always on Ramona, the way they shoot things and edit things and use music cues and make her look crazy.
Yeah.
And so my question is,
and they make Sonia look sad.
They make her look sad. They make, like,
alone.
That's when people are like, Andy Cohen hates women. I'm like, I don't know if that's true. I just know that at least with New York, they seem to go out of their way to make these women look crazy and stupid.
Yeah.
And my question is, so then when they watch, do they think that?
No, because I think that they thrive off of, like, the fan people tweeting them that night. So it's like, even when they look their saddest and, you know, they're on camera crying or doing something like that most of us would be embarrassed in real life about, they're getting people that are tweeting them or fans texting them or, you know, people in their life, you know, calling them up and saying, oh my God, it was so funny when you were crying, like,
oh,
and your eyelash was off or something, you know? So it's like, then there, it turns this really sad and embarrassing moment into like a celebration almost.
Oh, and it's just, but to me, it's like, it's not, because the bottom line is you're on TV, like Ramona, like you're on TV fake crying on a bed, like fake crying.
Oh my God, that was the best.
Like, that's nuts. And I'm just like, oh my God, like that is the bottom line for you? You like it's not about the, I don't know, $15,000 you're going to make from this
next season.
Yeah.
It's like, they're always worried about the next season.
Yeah. It's, it's really competitive and strange and weirdly dark.
And then Dorinda, now she's doing all these catch. I love Dorinda. I don't want it to sound like I don't like her, because I do love Dorinda for the show, but she's doing a lot of catchphrase work now.
Yeah.
It's like, she gave that rattlesnake monologue.
But that's what bums me out, because initially she felt so refreshing and like, kind of just, you know, real
normal.
And forward and normal, and had this sort of Italian energy to her that I, you know, can identify with from New York. But like, then she realized that these phrases become memes and gay guys
pillows
and women are sending them to each other and
me
making making pillows and shit and Instagram stories. Yeah. And then she's like, now I have to feed into this. And that sucks.
Yeah.
And it weirds me out that like Luann is like branding material.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about the episode, but you know what? We kind of went well, deeper last than night. We were going to. Yeah, we went deeper than we were going to. And, you know, I, for one, enjoyed it a little bit more. I, there was a lot of other good stuff. I love Dale. I want to see more of Dale with Tinsley's mom.
Oh, my God, Dale.
I love Dale. I wrote in my notes that Carol and Tinsley don't know how old they are. Like, they seem to be confused, right?
Yes. Also, Carol baffles me because she's so literate. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, she writes for a living. And so, to me, I think she's a strange addition to the show because she's a true socialite by marriage, a actual journalist and writer, and yet she's sort of, like, dumbing herself down for this show, which is not, you know, this is like, it's like candy, this show. Mm-hmm. It's not for intellectual arguments. And it's just so strange to watch this woman sort of swim in the...
devolve.
But not even devolve, because she manages to still be, you know, very articulate. And, like, when she had that conversation with Luann, like, Luann, like most housewives and most people at the tea parlor or whatever, is, like, just saying words to fill the air. And Carol's like, no, that's not correct. Like, you're just saying words. And I feel like people, because of these shows, or maybe because of people, and these are just, that's how they are on the show, but, like, people like Luann are just saying words, and Carol's like, no, we're having a conversation, and you're just responding to me with, like, empty phrases.
Yeah.
And I love that Carol sort of brings that, you know, somewhat of a reality check to the show, because she's not just saying nonsense. Mm-hmm. And she's smart. She's clearly a smart woman. So it's a very strange addition to the show from my standpoint, because I'm like, you're almost too smart for it, but you're still engaging in it.
I always get confused because when she first started, she kind of presented it as she was doing this as a social experiment,
right?
Like, that was an interview she would say. And then now it doesn't feel like that. It's like, so that was maybe a 2-season job, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, and now she's on season 4 or something like that.
Yeah, and you're like,
what's the deal?
Yeah, what's your deal? Yeah. And, like, what are you taking away from this? And,
but, you know, like you said, she's stuck now. It's almost like these women just totally get eaten by this process. And
I would think like that some of them would be above it, or able to sort of rise above the
get out.
Rise above it. And
they used to. Dorinda, I feel like back in the day, there would be more housewives that would seem to leave voluntarily.
Yes.
And now I don't see any of them leaving voluntarily.
No, I don't think so either. And that's, again, that also makes the show feel like it's, the franchise feel like it's changed.
Yeah.
That they're like almost prisoners by choice.
Totally.
Rather than like they don't have the upper hand. The network has the upper hand.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I want to get to some other women that we love.
Sure.
I know that you are a View fan.
Yes. I watch The View every day.
Yes, me too. Okay, tell me what you like about The View.
I started only watching The View years ago because, you know, Michelle Collins, our friend?
Yes.
Yeah, Michelle Collins. So she was on the show and I was like, wait a minute, I got to see this because I love Michelle so much and she's so funny. Like, truly one of the funniest people I've ever experienced. And I loved to watch her on the show. And it was just strange. And I was like, why are people not, like, getting her jokes?
Yeah.
And they weren't landing and the audience seemed perplexed by them. And
she was too quick
for that show. And it's like she really was too smart and too quick. And I think what I find so interesting about the show is that as popular as it is and as relevant as it still remains, it seems like a train wreck every day. And I have no interest in watching any other talk shows. I have no interest in talk. I have no interest in any other roundtable show. Like, truly no interest whatsoever. But The View feels like a wreck every single day, filled with dead air sometimes and with Whoopi as the moderator.
Yeah, and I always crack up at your Instagram stories because we always chat about this. Like, yep. Whoopi does not want to moderate. She's not good at it.
She doesn't want to moderate. She doesn't want to be on the panel. She doesn't want to talk about pop culture. She doesn't want to talk about romance. She doesn't want to talk about marriage, dating. There's so much and she doesn't want
hide
to talk about.
They don't hide it at all. Like, it's well, there.
Well, the rest of them, I think, are, like, going along with it. Mm-hmm. Whoopi clearly doesn't go to the morning meetings and then is completely flummoxed when something comes on the teleprompter. And she's, like, she's full of resentment.
Yeah.
She resents the show. She resents the content, the producers, uh-huh. sometimes the audience.
And then the rare occasion where she does want to say something, like she gets the urge to say something and they have to eventually wrap her, you know, because yes. she can't just talk about, you know, there are rules in TV. So it's like she has to eventually wrap or go to commercial or something. Like you always say and they have to sell ads. Like,
they have to do commercials. It's a live show. And when they're like, "Whoopi, wrap it up." She goes, "I see you.
Yeah,
I will wrap it up or don't play me off with music." And it's like, that's what the show is. Haven't you been on the show for over a decade? Like that's how this show works.
And she gets a little like kid fit where she's like, then I'm just not talking about it. Like she just will stop herself.
It is so bizarre. Yeah. Like there was one episode recently where she was like, she brings everything to a grinding halt on purpose, and uh-huh. and the audience always, no matter what's going on, seems completely perplexed yeah. by everything. So they don't know what they're referencing. They don't know if Meghan McCain is talking about like, you know, like politically wonky stuff, you know, political traditions. The audience is completely clueless.
Yeah.
It's like it's crazy. It's like the only thing that ever actually really makes it is like when Whoopi gets up and does some sort of like physical gesture as a joke or like makes a fart joke, or if Joy makes like a real like, you know,
yeah, Joy zinger. Gets some zingers in there.
Yeah, Joy's zingers usually work, but like
it's so interesting that you're saying all this because I've never been able to fully explain why I love The View so much because I watch it every day too, and yeah. it's like. There's so many weird behind the scenes things that if you watch every day, you really get to see the nuances
yep.
that I feel like the average viewer just kind of goes right over their head.
Totally. But I fast forward right through the like the merchandising, that weird like merchandising
the
stuff.
I like the interviews.
Through the interviews, all of them.
Hot Topics though are like the best.
That's
TV.
All I want to watch yeah. because it's a train wreck. They're yelling over each other.
So who's
I
your...
just think Whoopi is such a bizarre animal to watch mm-hmm. on that show. But when you have the show, when you have a show like that and it's led by Whoopi Goldberg, you're already making the moderator one of the oddest people, you know, like she is so amazing in so many ways. Yeah. And I've also met her a couple of times and she is the nicest and sweetest person yeah. you'll ever meet. But it's weird to make her the moderator of the show because she's kind of unpredictable and has often taken sort of unpopular or strange stances mm-hmm. on certain issues. And her agenda is talking about like her vibrator, weed,
weed that she
not loves. Getting married, yeah. not dating anybody.
Doing that Valley Girl voice that she always
And does. That's the thing that gets under my skin is the Valley Girl voice Ugh, because it is so dated.
And it's too much.
So
it's
irrelevant.
Like, and she does it. She shoehorns it in there all the time.
She shoehorns it in. It's not funny. And then you can tell the audience doesn't think it's funny either. And the reason that she does it is to subvert the topic, mm-hmm. which is, you can probably imagine the entire crew, the control room, the producers, they're like, are you fucking serious? Like, yes, we have to talk about the Kardashians. But when you do a Valley Girl voice to intro the material, it immediately makes it. It immediately subverts it and leaves the audience like confused. Mm-hmm. And it's also like.
And then the panel is sort of forced to laugh.
It's so awkward. Yeah. I'm sorry, but like you're on a show where, yeah, they're going to talk about pop culture. You can't shit on it every time.
Because it also makes the other co-hosts hesitant when they have exactly. to talk about Kardashians or Real Housewives or something. It's like sometimes I think they want to.
Of course.
Whoopi's making fun of it. And it's like you have a EGOT making fun of the topic.
It's so weird.
I also love sometimes Joy will just throw out a whatever, like where she'll just give up completely, like yep. mid-topic or mid-sentence yep. or whatever. It's like she's starting to give her point or she's starting to say something that she really feels
yep.
and then she's like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Just totally gives up. What do you think of when Joy moderates?
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. The show feels more together and concise mm-hmm. and yeah, it just makes more sense.
She does it on Fridays, and the only thing I don't like is when they bring Paula on Fridays, because I hate Paula.
She's awful.
Now, I wanted to do some View Hot Topics with you real quick. We'll just do one real quick.
Sure.
We'll do one. So, are you a fan of Avengers or any superheroes? Do you watch any of that shit?
I don't. I mean, I loved Black Panther, but...
Oh, so good, right?
Yeah.
I just wonder if you have any thoughts on a gay superhero. Why we haven't gotten any gay people in these movies? Like in a Marvel movie, not just as a superhero, but like, why aren't there any gay people populating these films at all?
Yeah, it's a strange, I mean, it's just, it's kind of strange. And I feel like there's such a big contingent of like gay gamers and like, you know, self-ascribed nerds and comic geeks. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's probably been a gay superhero in comic books.
Yeah,
right?
There's been plenty of them. Yeah, plenty in comic books. Like Nightwing, you know, all of these comics, there's different iterations. So like, you know, somebody will take over the character and do their own take on it. And so there's been tons of these that are, you know, at sometimes straight, sometimes gay. And then there's people like Deadpool, who I believe in the comics is like explicitly bisexual. Mm. And it's like in the movies, they sort of allude to something a little. Or Valkyrie, who's in Thor, it's a woman and she's bi in the comics.
Mm. I don't know. I mean, I think I hope that, that's changing because clearly, you know, I don't think people are. I think the idea used to be like straight men, the biggest audience, quote unquote, which is not even true anymore, straight men will not want to watch this kind of character. And like when you see something like Black Panther just become one of the biggest grossing movies of all time, and it's unapologetically black, it's not even like coincidentally black. I think that sort of probably knocked down some barriers here and there. And so I would think that it wouldn't be a big deal for a character to be gay. I guess in some ways it still could be, but I don't know. I guess it's so upsetting.
I had just seen Avengers and I was watching and I was just, you know, upset that we're sitting here watching a million characters on screen. I mean, there were so many and there's not even like a gay sidekick or anything.
Right.
It's like there's not a single gay person on screen. And some of the argument against that is like, well, you know, these movies aren't about the romance, but then you still see men and women flirting or dating or kissing or whatever.
Of course.
So it's like, okay, well, I got to look at all these fucking straight people. Like, throw a gay in there.
I mean, I don't see why not. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'd love a lesbian superhero. Yeah. I'd love that. I don't know. Maybe it'll take the correct writer. I mean, I don't know much about this world. Like, I just see some of the movies here and there. But like, there have to be gay producers who could like push this kind of thing a little bit more.
Yeah.
Especially if they exist in the comic books, which I know they do.
Yeah. Apparently, somebody was on my I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. Was it? It might have been off. But there was supposed to be a DC television show, like DC Comics, the gay superhero show.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they canceled it right at the last minute or stopped production on it because
they got nervous. I don't get it. I mean, unless they're showing like graphic butt sex, which might...
I'd watch that too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd watch it, but like...
I'd tune in.
Does that... Unless that's happening, like, I can't see what the big deal would be.
Okay, now I got to wrap this up because we've been talking for so long. But let's do a little pop culture lightning round. So these are going to be stuff about things that are going on in the news or whatever. You can elaborate if you want or just go quick. Okay, Rosie or Whoopi?
Rosie. Tommy, can you
hear me? What's your all-time favorite View moment? Split screen with Rosie?
No.
Oh my God,
I think my all-time favorite is there's no one. It's just a compilation of Whoopi stopping mid-sentence because she's pissed that they have to rap. Every moment of that.
Okay, so NSYNC got a star on the Walk of Fame this week, which was talking bizarre.
Yeah.
It was like weird. Do you have a favorite NSYNC song?
The one where they're a crazy, where they're like in straight jackets. Love make
Justin's hair is really upsetting in that too.
So upsetting. Whatever it's called, you drive me crazy.
No, I'm thinking that's Britney. Drive myself crazy.
Oh, I love that song.
Did you hear that? I hit that
vibrato.
I hit that note. Did you hear
that?
Yeah, make sure you got that, Whitney. Keep that in. Okay, marry, fuck, kill, or not kill, but like send on vacation or whatever. JC, Justin, or Joey?
Marry JC, obviously fuck Justin, and then you can send Joey.
Although I saw them on that Walk of Fame, and Joey looked good, I thought.
Yeah.
I think he's aging well.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, Money Can't Buy You Class or Chic C'est La Vie?
Oh, Chic C'est La Vie. C'est bon.
Favorite Jennifer Love Hewitt movie?
Oh, man. Can't Hardly Wait.
Say something nice about Queen Bonnie Hunt. What's your favorite thing about Bonnie Hunt?
I love Bonnie Hunt. Me too. I love that she's like just elevated. She gets cast as like basic, but then in real life, and I think on screen too, she's proven herself to be like a real, honestly, like a force to be reckoned with. Yeah.
You know, I always say that my favorite line in Jerry Maguire is when Renee Zellweger is going on a date and she's crying, and Bonnie Hunt's playing her sister, and she says, "Don't cry at the beginning of the date, cry at the end of the date like I do." And that line was improvised.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't written.
Love Queen Bonnie Hunt.
I mean, yeah. She's responsible for the success of that movie.
Oh my God.
Okay, Andy Cohen or Anderson Cooper?
Oh, no question, Anderson Cooper.
Me too. People ask me that all the time because I do all this housewife stuff, and I'm like, I'd much prefer
Anderson Cooper. But I still don't understand their friendship in a lot of ways.
Me either. Sexiest man alive.
Okay, it's so bizarre for me to say this, but like, my mind always goes to Reggie Bush.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's just perfect.
I love that answer, Elliot. Oh my gosh, I love that.
He's just like his teeth. I love his teeth.
Yeah.
He's just perfect looking.
What's your favorite Michelle Pfeiffer performance?
Well, Dangerous Minds.
Favorite Mariah Carey song?
Honestly, I'd have to go back to Vision of Love.
Oh,
it's a, I mean, it just
started it all.
Just, I mean, as a singer, like as a musician, I just watch like old videos of her singing and cannot fathom how she has that capacity to do anything with that. Like, it's crazy.
What's iconic to you? Like, what TV shows, movies, podcasts, what are you watching that you love besides The View?
The Golden Girls is always iconic to me. There was a show that I feel like it was underwatched, Happy Endings.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
That I feel is iconic and was
so
good and so sort of underappreciated and didn't get as long a life as it deserved.
And very rewatchable, too. I've rewatched it a couple times on Hulu, I think, since it came out.
It's incredible.
It's so good. It gets better each time.
And also, honestly, like, I love hate it, but Cats the Musical is iconic.
Really? What?
It's just so dumb. Yeah. It's like, literally, the show is a list of cats, and they're all, like, hypersexual, and you can see all of their genitals, and it's so weird.
Yeah.
And yet, that's like, and also, like, last time I went with my friend, we were like, should we smoke beforehand? And then we got there, we're like, no, we don't need drugs for this. It's already, like, a drug trip.
Because of your Broad City connection, do people always offer you drugs?
Not so much me, but they always offer my sister and Abby drugs all the time, wherever they go. And sometimes they smoke it, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
My favorite episode you were in with Fran Drescher. What was Fran Drescher
like? Oh, my God, Fran.
I'm keeping you here forever. I'm
no, sorry. I don't know. Okay, please. Okay.
I just she's love like Fran one of Drescher. I need to talk about her.
I just didn't expect her to be... I know she's just truly so intelligent, so truly... and genuinely intelligent and thoughtful and charitable and kind in a way that just, I think, blew us away.
She played your aunt or something.
Yeah, she played our aunt. Okay. Yeah, and she's stunning, but just really, like, just in talking to her person to person, she's so smart and so just intelligent and well-read and, like, intellectual. She's just very smart and has a lot of... ideas to offer.
I always felt like she should have been a movie star, and that movie she did, Beautician and the Beast, is one of my all-time favorites.
It's a bummer that she didn't get... I mean, it's not a bummer. She's done really well and like, is also very business savvy and has really gets, like, has figured life out in a way that I find very impressive.
Yeah.
Life and money and work and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, now, is there anything you need to plug? Anything that you have coming up that you...
I mean, I always have shows coming up. I'm doing my show, Haunting Renditions.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. So that you...
Yeah, sure. Okay. I went to school initially to do opera and very quickly decided I did not want to do that. But basically years later, I took my musical capacities and with a couple of friends created a live concert that's a mix of like stand-up and music. But it's really me singing... beautiful orchestral lush arrangements of really dumb iconic songs like Katy Perry songs.
Ashley Simpson, right?
I talk a lot about Ashley Simpson, Smash Mouth, like Bad Beach Boys songs, Milli Vanilli we're doing soon, like just really iconic stuff, and breaking it down in terms of like cultural theory and then performing it newly arranged. Like, we just premiered at the last show in LA, Bawa to Ba by Kid Rock, but as a sort of, as like a Lumineers kind of song. And my friend Mike, who was the director of our a cappella group in college, and now he's a high school principal after being a music teacher, is like a genius and arranges these songs in ways that just blow your mind. And so that it's a live show that I do in LA. I do it in New York at the Bell House, and it's going to be at Bumbershoot in Seattle. And I think June or Labor Day. It's going to be at the New York Comedy Festival in July. So it's just
all over the place. Where can people find it? Tickets?
Yeah, that's hauntingreditions.com, or they can just follow me on social media at Elliot Glazer.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Elliot, I could talk to you forever, and that's why I've kept you here forever.
As Whoopi says to every single guest on the show, come back. Come back anytime.
You're welcome anytime. And
like Comey is like, okay.
Stormy Daniels is like, I'm not coming back.
I'm not coming back, but okay, thank you. Come back anytime you want.
My one media appearance, yeah. All right, guys, thank you so much, and take a little time to enjoy the view. Oh my God, you guys, wasn't Elliot great? I love him so much. And, you know, he's not the only one we have. We also have Blair St. Clair on the show, who's, of course, from RuPaul's Drag Race. Now, I just want to mention before you listen to this interview that we do talk a bit about rape and sexual assault. So I just want to offer that little warning. If it's triggering for some people, I just want to let you know before you go ahead and listen. You know, I love Blair. And we also get into some fun little pop culture stuff. But I just wanted to mention that. And without further ado, Whitney, there's my accent again. Without further ado, here's my interview with Blair St. Clair. Thank you, guys. Love you. Hi, Blair. This is Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic, the podcast. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing today, Danny? I'm doing wonderful.
Oh, I'm doing so good. Now, you were my favorite on Drag Race. I'm not just saying that because I have you on the show. I loved you. I thought you brought such a nice, different flavor to the show. You were you seemed very kind, and it was unique, and you're stunningly beautiful. So I just want to say, you know, I loved you on the show.
Well, thank you so much for that. I really, really do appreciate that. I mean, a lot. Yeah.
Now I want to know what inspires your drag, because you kind of do like a little bit of an old Hollywood glamour. Is that what inspires you, or what inspires your look?
You know, it's an interesting question you ask, because I am so inspired by old Hollywood glam, like you asked, but it's an interesting reason why. And the reason is because old Hollywood glam is really filmed in the epitome of what I see as like a contrast of like beauty versus like what the outside world sees as beautiful. Mm-hmm. Because old Hollywood glam came from a time period of where female actresses were not treated very glamorous. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of very negative situations surrounding that glamorous lifestyle. And what we see on the outside is this beautiful, gorgeous facade of what these actresses and these vocalists have created. And we go back and we look into Marilyn Monroe, and we look at Judy Garland and so many people, and like how glamorous they have looked to in our lives, but truthfully weren't just treated as such. And so it's great juxtaposition of kind of like what the world is and what personal growth is as well, like the difference, mm-hmm. contrast of that.
And your arc on the show sort of mirrored that a little bit. I mean, from just a viewer standpoint, it seemed like you had everything together and you were just nice, you know, nothing. I don't know, my phrasing's a little off, but then at the end, the last episode, we saw you reveal this very heartbreaking story about you being raped in college. And I, for one, thought it was just so important. Anytime you talk about your own struggle, I think it helps other people. But what made you want to talk about that on the show?
You know, I think comes a time where something like that you don't plan ever on talking about. And before that moment, I hadn't really opened up and talked to almost anyone about that actually ever. And I really think that there's a time in your life where if something so heavy is something you want to talk about, your heart really has to start talking before your mind knows that it's ready. And I feel like in that moment, my heart really just began to open up and to talk and to share under the circumstance, the pressure, everything that was going on around me before my mind even knew that it was something I physically wanted to speak about. And I think it just kind of like spilled out of my mouth. And it was honestly a big relief just to kind of admit it to myself. They say the first step is always admitting to yourself. And I hadn't really said those words aloud yet. And I had no plan or intention of ever coming out and talking about that. But it was just something like a very vulnerable and emotional moment that I just started speaking.
Yeah, it was very powerful. And what advice do you have for young boys or young women too who are going through something like that or have been through something like that? Do you have any words of encouragement for them?
Today I have so much more encouragement than I think when we filmed Drag Race, because I've had such an amazing 6 months to really process, develop, and start feeling emotions versus having emotions that I haven't been able to process yet. So today, I think the best thing I could possibly tell someone is that you can't necessarily feel guilty for things that happen to you in your life that are out of your control. And even if they are within your control, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's your fault or you should go and try to fix those problems. And I think that the best thing you can do for today is that no matter what experience you've gone through in your life or what things you've encountered, the best thing you possibly do is to accept the things that have been and to focus on the present and really just focus on loving yourself and putting out more love and positivity into the world. Because when we start dwelling on the past so much, as I have done the mass majority of my life, I find that I'm not happy doing such. And the day I finally started to begin to love myself just for the fact and sake of being alive today, and just because I am who I am, and that's the bottom line of it, I started progressing and being a little bit more happy each and every day.
Well, I just want to thank you for sharing that story on the show. It's you know, really powerful, and I think it's really touched a lot of people and will continue to touch a lot of people.
Well, thank you very much. It wasn't something that I was necessarily planning to do, and producers have asked me, it's kept me in the loop with really, really being kind to my emotion and to me sharing the story. And I think that they shared it very beautifully on TV.
Okay, now let's get to some fluffier stuff. Who do you want to win Drag Race? Do you have a favorite?
I do. So now that there are 8 girls left, my money is on Miss Cracker. She is my best friend from the competition, but I also just adore her aesthetic. I think she completely has everything that you need, the charisma, uniqueness, the nerve, and the talent to be America's Next Drag Superstar. In my mind, I always knew that if it wasn't me, it had to be her. So I'm really, really keeping everything full force, hoping that she attains
now,
that.
Now, would you do an all-star season?
Oh, I most definitely would. I think it would be silly if someone were to ask you and you were to turn that opportunity down. Everything in life is an opportunity.
Now, I have to talk about something that I was devastated to read. I mean, this shook me to my core. I cried in the shower for a couple hours. I read that you were going to do Rachel Berry from Glee on Snatch Game. Is that true?
I most definitely 100% was going to.
Oh, my God.
You cannot, just for copyright reasons, you have to do the celebrity because it is Celebrity Snatch Game. So I was planning to do Lea Michele in Rachel Berry head-to-toe appearance. And I have so many I've been impersonating her for years. So I have the quotes down. I have the mannerisms, the gestures, because she kind of is a little bit of me. Rachel Berry is not. And so it was going to be fantastic.
Do you have a favorite quote?
Yes. Let me think of my absolute favorite one. It would probably be, some dreams are bigger than others. Me being on Broadway, that's a big dream. Yeah, and then she just like keeps going on and on and on and on and on about like more and more and more. Like I completely love her.
Oh my God, Blair, I'm so sad we didn't get to see all of that. I love Rachel Berry. I love Glee.
You know what? All we can hope now, all we can do today is hope for that. Maybe one day it'll come back out.
Hopefully. That's what we need you on All Stars for, or at least, you know, performing that somewhere.
Exactly.
So what advice do you have for people who are starting drag or who want to start drag? Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I'm very saddened when people say that. Like, as a joke, a lot of people with drag queens will say, stop drag today. And I really, really, really don't like that, because my biggest advice for people that want to start drag today is keep going, like keep pushing and keep reaching out for more help, because I just want to be as relatable as possible. If someone were to ask me, what got you started? What pushed you on? And honestly, what pushed me forward was me asking myself, where do I want to be in 10 years? It's not that I wanted to be famous or not that I wanted to be, you know, a household gay name. It's just that I wanted to truthfully find the best venue to express my creativity and my art and my passion. And I am so passionate about that.
Yeah.
So I would tell somebody, you know, if you have a dream, if you have a goal, the best way to keep is to gain more knowledge and ask drag queens what has worked for them, and just stay connected and keep working very, very hard.
Yeah. And you also have a new song out. The video came out the other day and it's stunningly beautiful. It's also a bop. Like, it is a good song. Will there be more music?
Thank you. Thank you.
Is there going to be more music in your future?
There is. We're actually talking about writing a full album now, so hopefully drop as soon as possible, because people have just been reaching out with so much, like a huge outpouring of love, of, you know, wanting more and more and more. And I think that's just what we have to give them.
It's legit good, I promise. I'm not just saying that again. I feel like I'm kissing your ass, but I do like it. Okay, now a couple quick pop culture questions. Who's your favorite diva? Like, who's your favorite musical diva? Do you have one? Who do you like?
Barbra Streisand, hands down.
Oh my God, yes. And what TV movies do you like? Like, is there a TV show you're watching?
So my mirror message was actually stemmed from Smash, the TV show.
Classic.
If you're familiar with Megan Hilty and Catherine McPhee. And it's about a couple raw things about, you know, Marilyn Monroe and her story from that, you know, Hollywood glam period of time and the backstage of what Broadway's like. And it's very speaks to me.
And finally, what's your favorite Mariah Carey song? I ask everyone this.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is, I'm sure everyone's favorite Mariah Carey song is from her Christmas album. And
All I Want for Christmas.
I think everyone's favorite, their favorite is always that. But that's completely, definitely mine. It's always my ringtone around the time of the year and always gets me into the holiday feel. And if it could be the holidays year round, I would be very happy.
Me too. And Blair, this was so fun. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on social media at Twitter at Blair St. Clair. You can find me on Instagram at Blair St. Period Clair and on Facebook as Blair St. Clair. And and on YouTube at Blair St. Clair Vivo.
Thank you so much for chatting with me, Blair. This was a
delight.
Thank
you so much. It was just a pleasure.
Yes, have a good one.
Raw and hail, Jax.